going, y'all? What's going on, y'all? We're back for another episode of Sports Desk. You see the show title. This one's going to stay. Shout out to all of my WCW kids, my 80s babies, 70s babies, all of y'all that remember Sting from NWA on to today. This show is definitely for y'all. So hopefully y'all tune in. Hopefully y'all enjoy it. I'm back with the co-hosts, Greg and Lou. What's up, y'all?
What's going on, Ashley? How's things going? How was your week? Greg, how you doing? Missed you guys last week.
Yeah, we missed you too, man. It was different to have the week off, but it was cool, I guess. Nothing really just happened in sports, but, you know, luckily tonight and over the weekend, we had so much to deal with and talk about in the scheme of wrestling. I will say I did watch some type of wrestling. I couldn't remember the name of it. It was on Saturday night. That's why I was confused when we were texting, because I thought it was Saturday that the AEW thing was going to start, right? But basically what I'm attempting to say was, I don't know if this is like backyard wrestling, but just in like a warehouse or whatever. But what I watched was some of the most dangerous shit I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know what league this was. Because you know how, again, there's so many wrestling leagues, you can't even keep up. And some of them, I don't want to say they're unnamed, but it's like you're not going to know what they are. It'd be like Pennsylvania Wrestling League or something, right? So I just tuned in for maybe like 20 to 30 minutes. And I guess my quick recap of it is, you can tell the people, like the indie wrestling, and how far they'll go to kind of get to that next level. But this is some different shit. The thumbtacks were real. Okay. So, I said, what the? No, that's an actual thumbtack. They're not bent at the, you know, at the ends, right? So I'm like, okay, I can see those thumbtacks. So that was an issue. The blood didn't look like ketchup or mumbo, so it looked like actual blood. So I was like, oh, okay, so this is like Dean Ambrose type of shit. Like, he would like thrive in this league. And what was very interesting about the pay-per-view outside of the blood and the thumbtacks was, it didn't really have commentary. I've never seen that, but apparently there are leagues that do that where they don't have a lot of commentary. They'll speak every once in a while, but they just want you to actually like watch the wrestling, and they like let the audience chant and stuff like that. So yeah. I may have to start watching these leagues and stuff again, because I didn't realize, one, they come on that much, because it's almost every weekend at this wrestling. If it's not Friday night, it's Saturday night. So think like UFC, but just like so many different fucking leagues. And the storylines, like, I don't think most of them, unless you're like a diehard fan of these like indie wrestlers, you don't really know the storylines to them. But their own personal stories are very interesting. So like one guy, and I know he was from like Pennsylvania or whatever, he, like, just this black guy, and I try to follow him on Instagram. I'll send y'all a link to him. Basically, he was just, like, he was having a heel turn in this match, and it actually made me hate him. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, yo, like, this is nice. So, yeah, slowly but surely, I'm enjoying wrestling again, and it's not because of WWE. It's more so because, like, I'm starting to watch indie wrestling again. I'm starting to get familiar with wrestlers who aren't just a part of a big faction. And I'm going out of my way on weekends to find wrestling on IPTV. That's weird. But I'm enjoying it. I will say I'm enjoying it. But that's it for me.
Yeah, and shout out to Triller TV, or otherwise known as Fight TV, because they have loads of wrestling. One in particular was House of Glory, which is one promotion out of New York City, I believe, out of Queens, New York. They actually had an event with Mustafa Ali versus Alex Shelley, which was a great match. And they also had Santana on there. Shout out to him. He recently left AEW, so I think there may have been some issues there. Not really sure, but shout out to him. But I guess we can go ahead and get started. I guess we can talk about Sting towards the end. There's some other stuff going on too. But on the New Japan front, they have their anniversary show, which is their 53rd year anniversary, coming on tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Shout out to them. 53 years in the business. So I believe their main event match is going to be Naito versus Sho. So that's going to be the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion versus the IWGP Junior Heavyweight. You don't see that too often, but this one should be interesting. Moving on, also they have the New Japan Cup starting on the 7th. And I did put my bracket together. I'm very excited about that. let's just see if it holds up. I really hope it holds up. Overall, I picked Shingo to win. I really need him to win this cup. And I do want to discuss him for a minute before I move on, because if you haven't seen him in a New Japan Cup, go back and watch the 2021 New Japan Cup. He made it to the finals, but he lost to Will Ospreay, but he did make it to the finals. And I just think if he can recapture what he was doing in 2021, he would be really back to his greatness. It's almost like they kind of push him back down to mid-card, and he doesn't need to be in the mid-card. He's definitely a top guy, and I really hope New Japan start pushes him back to where he needs to be. Like, I really need him back with the world title again. I think he's the only one that's actually done the title some justice, and there's been 8 champions so far. So that, I think that really says a lot. But just to kind of go into the New Japan Cup and who's in it, of course, Sonata, who's last year's champion, he's back in it. Shota Umino, Yuya Uemura, he's in it. Yota Tsuji, he's in it as well. Actually, him against Shingo in the semifinal. So that should be very interesting. That'll be an LIJ showdown. Let's see, Kenta's in it, Hikuleo, Bolton Oleg, if y'all not familiar with him, he's actually one of the young boys, a young lion, but this guy is like tall and like beefy. Like, if you've never seen him, go and watch New Japan World and just look at him. He's like, he's just a beefy ass guy, and it's like he can take anybody, but he's in it as well, so that should be a good one. Zack Sabre Jr. is in it, Tai Chi is in it, so we could get a, you know, a Super Techers, which is their tag team name together, which we could get that showdown. So that should be really good. Definitely stay tuned to New Japan Cup 2024, March 7th is the start date. Moving on to WWE. Of course, there was the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I don't think that one went over too well. I think the ladies did very well overall. Tiffany Stratton, she's definitely one to really watch out for. She did very well in the chamber for her very first time. Like, she really held her own. So shout out to her. She was very over with the crowd, which was great to see. But the fellas, I mean, did Jake Paul need to be there? Jake Paul, Logan Paul, whichever one of them Pauls, did either one of them need to be there?
I didn't see much of the chamber, but I did see a bunch of different snippets with him, and he's entertaining. That's for sure. Like, writing on, you know, on the chamber door and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, KO. I mean, he does make you laugh. You know, even though you're not there to watch it, the laugh, but
right.
But yeah, I you know, like, overall, yeah, probably not.
But yeah, so of course, on the women's side, Becky Lynch won the chamber. So she'll probably face off against Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. And then on the men's side, it was Drew McIntyre. So he'll face Seth freaking Rollins for the world title at WrestleMania as well. So that was pretty much the chamber in a nutshell. but moving on to AEW, they had their AEW Revolution. which was also Sting's retirement night. Shout out to Greensboro, North Carolina. Of course, as we know, that is the mecca of pro wrestling. And they have designated March 3rd as Sting Day. So shout out to them. They gave him like this, I guess this replica baseball bat with like his name on it and things like that. So shout out to Greensboro honoring that wrestling tradition. I can't remember his name. One of the Crockett's, basically one of the founders of NWA and WCW. One of the Crockett boys, but he was there. Ricky Steamboat was there. Ric Flair, of course, all of them were there. Lex Luger, Magnum TA, I think, was there. So, let's get started at the top of the card. The TNT Championship match was on the line. Daniel Garcia facing the champion, Christian Cage. I thought this match was pretty good. I think Daniel Garcia held his own considering the outside interference with Nick Wayne and his mother. So I actually enjoyed this one. I gave this one a B-. It was pretty good for what it was. Next up, we have the Continental Crown Championship match with champion Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson. I almost called him Daniel Bryan. versus Bryan Danielson. I really enjoyed this match. First of all, I didn't realize how many belts Eddie Kingston had. He has like 3 belts. So there's the New Japan Strong title, the AEW Continental Crown, and then he has like an ROH Ring of Honor title. But shout out to Eddie Kingston. He came out with the win and he actually defeated Bryan Danielson. This was hard hitting on top of technical wrestling. So if you're really into both of those, you got both of those in this match, and I gave it an A. I really enjoyed it. Next match was an all-star 8-man scramble match, which Greg and I kind of agreed. The big guys kind of really threw this one off. Like those big guys kind of slowed down the pace of the match, because if you really think about it, it was Chris Jericho, Dante Martin, Hook, and then Magnus in the mix with Brian Cage, Wardlow, Lance Archer, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Like, you probably put some, like, 4 of the smallest guys up against, like, 4 of the biggest guys, and it's like, it just looked off balance. So, I don't know. I gave that one a C. It's like, that one really did nothing for me at all. But shout out to Wardlow. He did pull out that win. So, he gets to face the champion, Samoa Joe, at a future date. The next match was the AEW International Championship match with Orange Cassidy putting his title on the line versus Roderick Strong. This was another dream match for a lot of folks, and I actually enjoyed this one as well. Both of their styles matched up really well. I think they matched up as far as height-wise, move-wise, style-wise, and it was really good. And I gave this one a B as well. And Kyle O'Reilly, I'm not sure if y'all remember him or not, but he actually made his appearance after the match in AEW. So I'm guessing he's All Elite now. So let's wait and see on that one. Next up was a tag team match with FTR versus Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli. I enjoyed this one as well. FTR, they're North Carolina boys, so it was good to see them in Greensboro Coliseum. I don't think Mox bled in this match. So that was kind of interesting. basically Moxley and Castagnoli defeated FTR. I gave this match an A. Like I said, I enjoy both teams, and they both did very well in this match. So I gave it an A. Next up is probably one of my favorite matches on the card, and that's the AEW Women's World Championship match. Deonna Purrazzo facing Timeless Toni Storm. I love when the ladies show and prove on a pay-per-view. Because normally on an AEW show, they're the only women on the card, and they did exactly that. They cooked from beginning to absolute end. These ladies can wrestle. If you've never seen Deonna Purrazzo, Toni Storm, watch this match. They are awesome. One of my favorite parts was Mariah May coming out as the old Toni Storm, and she had everybody fooled. Like, I really thought that was Toni Storm going back to her old ways, but no, it was Mariah May. So shout out to her. I gave this match an A. Toni Storm was able to retain her title. So I loved it. Like I said, I love when the ladies come out and show and prove. So next match, another one of my favorites on the card, Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita. Man, I knew I was going to get a fire match out of these two, but these two literally tried to kill each other and made it look so incredibly good. Like, wow. And Greg even said he liked it. So definitely, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on this one, Greg.
Yeah, so far it's the match of the year for me. I've watched it 3 times already. Wow. I went on Plex and we had it on Plex. I was like, I'm going to watch it again. Again, as somebody who is attempting to learn new wrestlers before they, you know, become Flair's age, I'm like, you know what, let me appreciate them for matches that people are saying, like, you know what, this is going to be good. And I sat through it and I watched it. And, you know, I'm like super critical about like all wrestling. It had no flaws. It had no flaws to me. I sat there and I even texted y'all and I was like, yo, like, this is like, I think 5 minutes into the match, I was like, this is a 9.4. I gave it a 9.6, 9.7 at the end. It just kept getting fucking better. And the more I watched it, I'm like, oh, like, okay, I've seen it once, saw it twice. The reason why I watched it the third time is because I felt like I missed a portion of it. The first two times I watched it, I was like, no, like, I didn't miss anything. It was just that good, right? Because usually there's that moment in a wrestling match, you're like, all right, either I wasn't paying attention or, you know, it's just not interesting to me, right?
Right.
And I feel like that with a lot of matches. This one, I was like, yo, like, I watched the entire match and it told a story. It's been a while since I've seen a match, like, tell a story. And not through, like, the actual storyline that they're going through, but, like, the story of the match. Like, the moves and stuff, like, the ring set. Well, I'm sorry, not the ring set, but, like, the move set and how they're operating. All that stuff was like, yeah, this brought back, like, wrestling for me. And once it brought back, meaning, like, for somebody who's, like, I have my favorites and I know that they're not going to disappoint me, having, you know, two people that are new, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I think I'm going to have to follow them and put them on the radar. I think the last two people I've had like that, the one is like Luchasaurus. I know I've told y'all about him, like just following all of his matches. We're not going to talk about Nikita Lyons, but the other woman, she was at AEW. I keep forgetting her name. She was like the champion at one point. She's like a thicker woman. I forgot what her name was. Oh my God.
She wrestled Willow Nightingale.
At AEW. Yes, Willow. And, you know, I haven't really kept up with the AEW's, you know, like, women's division. But, like, I'm going to get into that. But this match right here, like, it's going to be hard to, and I'm going to say this is going to sound hella biased because I love that match so much. I don't think there's going to be one match that's going to be as good at WrestleMania than I saw with this one match at AEW. It's going to be that hard. Because I'm like, yo, like, everything is perfect. It was almost like you could tell that they connected before the match and they were like, all right, cool. This is how we're going to structure it and everything. But then they said, let's just let things flow. Mm-hmm. And everything just flowed perfectly. I don't get that often in wrestling. So again, I hate to bring the WWE into it again, but there won't be a match like that at WrestleMania. It won't. I can almost guarantee it. If it does, I'll eat my words and apologize. But it hasn't happened since Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Owens. And that's just me saying it. But this, like, I want to give it a 10 out of 10, but the only thing I felt that I took away from it was, it's because I didn't know them as well. So I'm kind of like deducting my own points because it's like, I should have knew or I should have expected it because everybody in the forums was saying how good this was, you know, and how good these two wrestlers are. So I'm like, okay, I should knew better. I should knew that this was going to be an A match, but I was not expecting to be like an A, but then the teacher leaves notes at the bottom. Great job.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the good work. I'm like, shit. Like, damn. So yeah, 9.7 out of 10. 9.7 out of 10.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly feel bad for the match that came after it because it's like, how are they going to match up to that? And basically the match after that was for the world title. Swerve Strickland versus Samoa Joe versus Hangman Page. I think there were some moments in this match where they kind of lost me. It seems like they were kind of all over the place. And then, like I said, coming after the Will Ospreay and to catch the match, I mean, it was kind of hard to follow that. So overall, I gave this one a B. Samoa Joe did pin Paige and Strickland to retain his title. I got to give it maybe a B minus C. Like I said, it lost a certain something at certain points of the match, and it didn't keep me as engaged as the prior match. So I kind of took points for that. But see, we got a voice note. So let me check, see what's going on with that.
What's up, Greg, Italy, and Cashley, Renaissance? Got a question. Who do you believe would win between first a prime Eddie Guerrero versus a prime Shawn Michaels, and then a prime Stone Cold versus a prime Hulk Hogan? And Cashley, what part of North Carolina are you from?
Wow. Let's see. Eddie Guerrero prime versus Shawn Michaels prime.
That would be an all-time great match right there.
Yeah, and I'm going to say Shawn Michaels because he's like my top three right there. So I'm going to say prime Shawn Michaels, like prime intercontinental sexy boy Shawn Michaels. Right. Like, I'm really feeling myself Shawn Michaels, you know.
Like I would like to see them too, like, you know, in like a 60-minute Iron Man match.
Right.
Because, both of them in their prime, that's really hard to get.
Right.
That's really, really hard.
Let's see. A prime Stone Cold versus the prime Hulk Hogan.
Well, we know Greg's answer on that one. So.
Damn right.
That, and I obviously don't care to think about Hulk Hogan now or even in his prime. So,
But if you wanted my opinion, I'd probably say Hogan. I don't know why. I don't have reasoning why. I would just say Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Cold, his prime, that glass break. It's like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, they were both at, like, the crowd just popped. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, but Stone Cold, his prime was too much.
Yeah, Lou is only picking Hogan because I like Austin. So whenever Austin comes up, he's like, nope, we're just going to be contrarian.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I like Stone Cold just like the rest of them too. I just with Stone Cold and Hogan, it's like the same thing. The only thing I can remember from their matches is each of them having four or five moves.
Right.
Like, you know, with the Hogan, you got the leg drop and the body slam. And then with Stone Cold, you got, you know, the stunner. And then, you know, he kicks you in a corner and then just sits there and kicks you 7-8 times in the chest. You know, so it's just hard for me to pick.
Yeah, I feel like Hogan's moveset was a lot more limited. Like, you just feel like he literally has like two moves or maybe one and a half.
Well, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Was Hulk Hogan ever really in his prime? He was like 78 in 1984. So, I mean, right now,
that's what steroids did to him back in the day, I guess.
And as far as, I think the last question was, where am I from? Well, pardon? Well, I'm in North Carolina. I'll just answer that. let's get to the final match, which is the Tornado Tag Match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships, which was Sting's last match. And of course, he was a tag champion along with Darby Allin, facing the AEW EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Man, like, if I had planned it right and realized they were going to be in Greensboro, I would have went for this. This is classic, and I'm so happy with AEW and Tony Khan that they gave him the proper send off. They did not play him like WWE did at WrestleMania that year. Like, but yeah, let's, before we get into this match, let's just talk about Sting for a minute. He debuted in NWA in 1987. Like I said, shout out to my 70s babies, 80s babies. Yeah, so basically that standout match at that time was a 45-minute time limit draw against champion Ric Flair at the time. So that really put him on the map. And eventually Sting would defeat Flair for the NWA title. And then, of course, NWA would morph into WCW, where Sting would win 6 world titles, 3 WCW tag team titles, 2 Intercontinental World titles, 2 United States championships, and, you know. But I think what really made Sting stand out was that he was a strictly WCW guy through and through, from beginning to, like, end. Like, a lot of people jumped ship quite a few times. He never left. So when he appeared in WWE for WrestleMania, that was like long after WCW, right? So he's loyal. So yeah, what's everybody's memories of Sting?
For me, he's the reason why I even liked the NWO, to be completely honest. Red and Black Sting was always like my favorite one. Just being in the rafters, like, you know, everybody's going to say the same thing that I would probably say, but the most memorable match for me is him versus Goldberg for some reason. I don't understand why that's like memorable in my head, but that's the one that I remember the most.
I was going to say, it's me the, neither.
Because it's like, why was that the match of all the matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it resonated with me. And just the other flip of the coin, because like Sting's one of my favorite people, one of my favorite wrestlers. I just have to say, Triple H really ruined what he did. So the fact that one of my most memorable moments is the mistreatment and the misuse of that legacy by Triple H, like that really ruined, I won't say Sting's legacy, but it definitely ruined how a lot of wrestlers saw WWE, and how you had to kind of do like the change of the guard and like show your respects. But ultimately, he is one of the few people, which I can say that had to go that, going to the WWE route, and their name was completely tarnished. People actually turned against the WWE because of what they did to Sting. People are like, oh, that Sting? Really? Like, you finally got him and this was it? Like, this is what you did? Okay. So people kind of offer them, you know, for that. But he's one of the few that, regardless of whatever happened to him in WWE, his legacy held up everywhere else. So his, you know, NWA, his WCW, like, he was the reason for me. Like, he was my Stone Cold for WCW. And, like, if we were talking top fives, he's in my top five. My top five is not conventional by any stretch of the imagination. Y'all already know Austin's number one, right? Number two, ironically for me, is Jericho. People will say, "What the fuck, Jericho?" Yes, so like Jericho has been everywhere, pretty much held everything, and regardless of how much he's grown to be like a piece of shit in real life, I've always admired like his style of wrestling. So that's him. Sting is, God, it's hard. Because I'm like, okay, can I give Sting 3, or do I give it to Undertaker? That's how it works for me. It's like 3 and 4 for them, and then Shawn Michaels is 5. Like, if I had to have, like, that Mount Rushmore with an extra, you know, face or whatever, then that would be my 5. I just don't know I want to place Sting or The Undertaker. Undertaker, and I'm not trying to take away from Sting, but Undertaker would have been top 2. He would have been top 2 if he also, just like Sting, didn't completely just, like, ruin WrestleMania 30 for me. That wow, is etched in my head for the rest of my life. That one actually kind of ruined me, but not more than Triple H when it came to Sting. I feel like Sting was one of the few wrestlers that was never protected. It was like, hey, if he wins, he wins. If he loses, he loses, right? But he was always respected by the people that, you know, wrestled with him. And the people, even in the factions that he wasn't in, they always said their dream match was with him. So you know, that is why I always will respect Sting. I'm really, it's it's one of those, I won't say coming of age moments, but it's definitely like an eye-opening moment for me to say, you know what? The people I grew up on, people won't be able to appreciate them because they'll never see them wrestle. Mm-hmm. They're done. So mm-hmm. my daughter won't be able to see The Undertaker. She'll never be able to see Sting wrestle. I'll have to always tell the memories and, you know, tell the tale of the tape, right? But the one thing I can always say about Sting is I don't think he has ever, to me, that I've like physically watched outside of the Goldberg match, but that's a story for another day, put on a bad match. It always feels like he put in 110%, and that right. match at the pay-per-view on Sunday was like, wait a minute, he didn't phone it in for his last match like, mm-hmm. at all. It wasn't like, okay, this is my last match, I know what, you know. Again, he told a story to the very end, because honestly, I thought it was over when he went through the plexiglass. I said, oh, you can go ahead and cough this one up, buddy. Like,
that was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, wait, because he didn't even look like he was getting up. We didn't even touch on the Darby Allin shit. Like, I don't even know how mm-hmm. the fuck he got up from that. But
right.
ultimately, like, for Sting, he clearly top five. But I'm really happy that he went out on his Shield. And mm-hmm. that, I wouldn't have wanted it to be about, you know, any other way. And they completely, thank God for Tony Khan, in some cases, for righting the wrong that WWE did. So,
right.
again, mm-hmm. a match for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, what about you, Lou? What's one of your memories of Sting?
Well, earlier you said, you know, shout out to all the 70s and 80s babies. Well, I'm one of them. Okay. Yeah. And mine is in the 80s and, well, actually in the early 90s too, because, I mean, I didn't really start watching wrestling until probably mid-80s, something like that, but it was all WWE or WWF at the time, actually.
Oh,
but
yeah.
His battle with the with the Four Horsemen, with Flair and Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, like just the ongoing battle between him and Flair was just like really like, I mean, that's what I noticed, you know, because again, I was a young kid, but that's when I noticed that there was actually like storytelling and shit, you know? So that's probably my biggest memory of him.
Yeah, we have two more voice notes, so we'll go ahead and play those
in a minute. That's cool. Fellow North Carolinian. Great place to be from. North Carolina, the home of the brave. But one more. Could Sting beat The Undertaker, both in their prime?
Oh, wow. Prime Sting versus Prime Undertaker.
No, I don't think so.
I think that, and I know this isn't, you know, the prime Sting. I'm going to go with the match that was supposed to happen. Sting would have beat The Undertaker. Sting could have ended the streak at any given point, because even though Undertaker was who he was and he was that legacy, his legacy would have always held up. If Sting ever would have faced The Undertaker and lose, his legacy isn't the same. Mm-hmm. But Undertakers would always be the same. So I see Prime Sting beating Prime Undertaker. Like, that should have been the Brock Lesnar match, in my personal opinion. But, yeah, we got fucked over with that one. And look how it paid out. Thanks, Vince.
Right.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, definitely agree. Let's see what the other voice notes.
Wait, I'm an 80s baby, too. 1880.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Okay, we got a voice note here from John. I see.
I will always remember Sting going back and forth with Ric Flair, but my most memorable match with Sting was him versus Diamond Dallas Page.
Wow.
'99. Awesome match.
Yeah, DDP, man. Yeah, definitely can't talk about WCW without talking DDP. So, yeah, definitely. I don't think he was there Sunday night. Maybe he was. I don't know. I don't remember seeing him. But yeah, as far as the match goes, shout out to Sting's sons, first of all. You know, they came out as, you know, 87 Sting. And then, you know, Wolfpack Sting. I thought that was awesome. but yeah, Darby Allin and that table spot. Oh, my God. I mean, the glass flew all over the place. I mean, it was going all into the front row. And apparently AEW now has a disclaimer that they have outside of the arena and also on the Jumbotron. So if you're in the front row, you might get messed up a little bit. Just letting you know now, you are totally responsible. Don't come back and try to sue. So so if you're in that front row, you're taking your life in your hands. So that's just a little FYI going forward. But yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I thought he was dead. I was like, is he still, what the fuck is going on? Because I've never seen a match. I was actually, did the Foley match? No, because it didn't look nothing like that. I've never looked at a match where I could see the blood like coming out of the person that way. Because I saw his back when he first landed, right? And I was like, oh, he's just cut up. And then he panned away for a second and instantly panned back to him. I was like, wait a minute. His back is covered in blood. It's not in just one spot. So, yeah. I'm sure he's gotten a couple stitches after that because there's no fucking way. And you could tell he was legitimately hurt. Like, the spot hurt him because of the fact that he was down for, like, another 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't him selling. He was actually down. When they would show, like, him, like, in the zoomed, like, thing or whatever, like, in the zoomed out mode, he was still laying in that exact same position. You know, normally what they do is when they're trying to showcase like a wrestler just going one-on, you know, like a handicap or something like that, the other person just will sit on the outside of the ring for a minute and just catch their breath. He wasn't catching his breath. He was literally just like, let me actually try to figure out where life is right now. I may not be on Earth because the replay from the different angle, I was like,
that was crazy.
I've never seen a TLC match do no shit like that. I've never seen Edge and Christian or the Hardys do anything like that. If that's how Sting wanted to go out, he's going out in a major way with that that spot. Between even shit, Sting's spot, I'm thinking, okay, what he'll do is he'll end up turning the plexi on them, and then they run into the plexiglass. But then when he hit it, the way he hit it was like he flipped into it. And I was like, oh. And then they didn't even bother to like clean up the ring, so all the plexiglass is still in the ring, and they're doing like the death drop and all of like the DDTs and shit. I'm like, wait a minute, like, he's landing on his head on the plexiglass. Again, A plus match, because that shout out to them. Tony Khan, you did something right.
And shout out to Matt and Nick Jackson as well, because they did their thing in a match, but I think a part of them also knew and understood, like, this is Sting's send off. So, you know, we're definitely going to do what we can to make Sting look good. And I mean, Sting looked good already. Like, at his age, he still moved really well. So, you know, even when Darby had to kind of figure his life out at that moment, Sting was still holding his own in that match. So definitely shout out to Matt and Nick for holding that down as well. Like I said, A-plus match as well. I thought that was a great way to end Sting's illustrious career in the right way, in the proper way, proper send-off. But yeah, let's see what this other voice note is from Parallel.
Hello, Elementary Tilly Tally and White Greg. How's it going, guys? What is today's topic? I've got questions for you guys. Do you have any questions for me?
No, but what is your question? Thanks for tuning in, by the way.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
I do want to bring up one particular point on Sting. Does anybody remember the little run he had in WWE? And I think he was working programs with Seth Rollins. And he actually got hurt during one particular match. It was almost career ending. Does anybody remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember how he got hurt, though.
Yeah, it was in a match with Seth, and I believe it was his neck. So it wasn't good. It didn't look good at all. But yeah, shout out to Sting. He had a TNA run. Does anybody remember his TNA run at all?
Yeah, that's when I used to watch TNA. I haven't watched TNA in a long time, but he had one of the best characters when he did like the Joker's thing.
Yeah,
that like you know goofy crazy you know office rockers thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he could do a lot. Let me tell you, he could do a lot.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely shout out to Sting. Shout out to all the wrestling fans who was watching since they were kids. If you started in the '80s, '90s, 2000s, or if you started watching yesterday, you know, shout out to you. It's so much to explore and love about pro wrestling. And then, like we were talking about earlier, you can tune into Fight TV and see almost every promotion on there, and I also want to send a special shout out to House of Glory Wrestling. Like I was mentioning earlier, they just brought their pay-per-views back to Fight and Triller TV. So definitely check them out when you can. But anything else on the wrestling front from everybody? That's pretty much all I had. I'm just hoping my bracket holds up for this New Japan Cup. So
yeah, I'm probably going to have to. When does that start, by the way?
That starts on the 7th.
On the 7th? Okay, so I got a day or two to fill out my bracket. I saw you sent that in the group chat, so I'm going to fill mine out too. And again, I'm probably the only one that's listening, talking, everything that hasn't watched any New Japan because I can't seem to find it anywhere. So my bracket's going to be a total guess too. So
yeah,
but it'll be fun to do.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Greg? That's pretty much all I have as far as the wrestling front. What you got?
Honestly, you know what's so crazy is sports have been ass in the past like 2-3 weeks. And I don't really know how to put it into a docket because nothing's been good on. The only
really
positive news. Yeah, at all. Like the podcast, I think there's been more news of podcasts, you know, like sports podcasts than there have been of actual sports, right? But the few things that I did have, and we can be like brief about them. Golden State got blown out by the Boston Celtics, and it was a surprise to me because when I looked at it, it was like 82 to like 34 in like the second quarter. I was like, there's no fucking way this is happening. Like, what? Like, yep. You know, people were telling, you know, people were saying, oh, the Celtics have gotten their number. I was like, yeah, that means the Celtics are going to lose like the next three games because they, you know, blew their load with Golden State, right? There's that. In other NBA news, I can confidently say this. The break that I've been taking on betting the NBA outside of like, I think Lou and I only bet now at this point, like the first basket or like some obscure, like over under with like assist or something like that.
Pretty much.
Betting on them? Absolutely not. I'm looking forward to the first week of baseball because fuck the NBA right now. They've ruined it for me. NFL has ruined it for me. If baseball is where I made my money, I think I'm just going to stay over there. I'm not going to bet it every day because that's how you lose money. But yeah. Right. I just. That and the sports books have completely ruined gambling because it's like, how much more money do you need? Can you at least say, you know what? We're just going to give them a night where everybody just wins a little bit of something. Like the players play the way that they normally play, which is crazy because I think about like, okay, a player who averages like, oh yeah, he averages like 26 points a game. So what you'll do is you'll take them for 20 points and the motherfucker will score fucking 9 points. You're like, wait, what the fuck? How? What?
Yep.
Like, how does that work? I went less than your average, and you did less than that. Again, so between that and the refs being complete pieces of shit and giving people technical fouls because they don't want to talk to them, like they did to DeJounte Murray of the Atlanta Hawks, I thought that was a little bit bullshit. But again, the refs
are super. How are you going to tease someone up for ignoring you? Like
exactly. He told him, he was like, these refs are like softer than toddler shit, yo. I just don't get it. And
I want no parts. So I'm kind of off the NBA. And I knew I was like off of gambling after the Super Bowl, really. But our text thread hasn't been a lot of Greg sending a bunch of links. Like, if you would have called us 2 months ago, you'd have been like,
me neither.
Fuck, Greg is sending like 78 fucking tickets. Now it's
you don't know how many times I wanted to text you and just be like, dude, hold on, let me catch up.
But and then like in the Discord groups, like the leak groups and stuff, they've changed the algorithm on Discord. So like the bots who were able to steal from other cappers and shit, we can't get their plays anymore. So like the group like Gold Boys or whatever, right? Like they have like the most popular like cappers because they've won people money before. They changed something up in their own personal discourse, and now we don't really get the plays like we want them, right? Or they show up late. That doesn't make me want to fucking gamble. There's that. Outside of the NBA, fuck them. So there's that. Football. I'm going to be the first one to say this, and I'm really hoping it doesn't come true, but I'm going to say it because I know me. And when I'm wrong, like the person's usually like doing the complete opposite of what I said. This is for Caleb Williams. You are getting the Adam Gase Why Are You Still Here award. And I have not given out an award in fucking 6 months. And the reason why is because you're getting this award tonight as a result of you being an absolute piece of shit. And I'm saying this not because I know you as a person, but for you to try to set the precedence of like, they know what I'm capable of during the game. So I'm not going to go and do the combine or, you know, just like do the drills and stuff like that. Nobody's saying that you can't do the drills. We know why you're doing this. It's because you want people to drop you down on the draft boards or you to be taken. Cause I don't think he gives a fuck about being number one overall. He just don't want to go to fucking Chicago. That's what that
is. Right.
But to completely squander what like, your draft board like listing and everything like that because you simply just you don't want to throw. But then they try to clean it up at the end of it, saying, well, he didn't throw anything, but you know what, he was the last player to leave the field. He thanked all the staff and the media and stuff. Like, who the fuck cares? Who the fuck cares? I don't think the janitor for fucking cleaning the toilets. Guess what? Your fucking job was to clean the goddamn toilets. And that's no disrespect to janitors, but imagine a football player who gets on a football field and don't want to do football. It's like, okay, so, yeah. And then I can see if he said, you know what? I showed up and I'll sit on the sidelines. He says, no, I'm going to sit here and engage and talk to people. I want to be the fan favorite. You can't be the fan favorite if you got quarterbacks and players who are actually working their heart out to even get drafted. And you feel as though you're so entitled that you can just say, no, fuck it. I'm just going to go and say, no, they've seen me on tape. Because here's the thing. I remember Johnny Manziel. I remember the last 9 quarterbacks from the fucking Cleveland Browns. I guess what I'm attempting to say is this. This is going to come back to bite him in the ass. Because if he ends up being an RG3, if he ends up being a bust, when I say RG3, I don't mean RG3 being a bust, but if you end up being somebody who ends up getting injured or somebody who doesn't actually show up and do the same things they did in college, because guess what? Professional sports ain't college sports, right? And if you fail in the league, everybody's going to be looking at you like, well, shit. He's the one that didn't want to do that. He won't get traded. And I think that's why Justin Fields feel safe. They are allegedly, and Lou and I talked about this before, you know, there was a video of the agent giving Justin Fields news, right? And he was saying yes. And he said in the video, he's like, going home. Everybody knows he's from Georgia. So everybody's speculating that he goes to the Atlanta Falcons. Lou would love nothing better than to have Russell Wilson as his quarterback. But if he could have Justin Fields, he would take him, right?
No. I don't want Russell Wilson as my quarterback.
Yeah. So, I mean, since we're here, let's just talk about Russ real quick. And I'll, you know, just be quiet so you can say what you want to say. The Denver Broncos might be the dumbest fucking team in the league right now.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the awards. But they should get most of them. Let's just say that. The reason why they should get most of the awards, because there's no fucking way that you just signed him last year for a 5-year extension only to cut him the next season. Which means you somehow owe those funds. You got to pay those funds.
$85 million.
$85 million. Which means crazy. You know who they can't go get that they said that they wanted? Fucking Mike Evans. They wanted Mike Evans. You can't go get him. You can't afford him because you got dead money. What are we doing here? So, again, to land my plane, sports is not good right now. You want to say sports isn't good right now? Wrestling, as a sport, has shown and proved that even though it's an all-year thing, they have to keep up with other sports who are starting to do less, right? You know it's bad when I have to go and unfollow certain social media, like sports pages, because they're not even talking about sports. When I say sports, meaning like shit that I care about. You know who they're talking about? Caitlin Clark. On days that she's not playing. I'm like, wait, okay, she broke the record. Great. You know what they did? They put a photo of her, like a cartoon photo of her standing in the locker room with the record of points, right? They didn't put Pete in the photo, but they fucking put, what's her name? Kelsey, the other girl, Kelsey Plum, right? So I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, so now you're just being speculative, right? You're doing shit that don't really matter. But that's just because sports is in a dead moment. People don't care because it's like, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. A lot of this stuff is just like, okay, so now we're just chasing fucking records that don't make sense. The All-Star game, we all were like, okay, this is bullshit. Even when LeBron gets, and this is another piece of news, 40,000 points, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. I've not seen people, like, usually the outrage is, oh my God, LeBron broke another record. Now people are like, he done broke all the fucking records. So does it matter? It really doesn't. So, again, with sports, I don't know. I would personally love to know from Lou, like, how he's going to feel when Russell Wilson puts on the black and gold. That's all I want to know.
Okay. I'll say this. I wouldn't mind him being in Pittsburgh if they could sign him to like the veteran minimum, which I have no idea how much that is. But if they can sign him to a veteran minimum contract, because Denver still owes him a shit ton of money too, right? So if they get him to a veteran minimum, fine. I'm perfectly fine with it because we still have cap space left. We still have money to spend on free agents. So if that happens, which it very well could, then I'm cool with it. I just don't want them going out giving him a 3-4 year, you know, contract worth $20-30 million. Because if you do that, then you're just, you know, you're going to be a bottom dweller in the league for the next 5-6 years. That's pretty much literally all I got to say about the whole Russell Wilson thing. The whole Justin Fields thing, that's still up in the air. So we're going to have to wait and, you know, find out there. Because one day it's, oh, well, the Steelers are in the lead to sign them, you know, or trade for them. And then it's Atlanta. And then it's somebody else. So it changes every day. The league year starts on the 13th. So come the 13th, we'll find out a lot more.
That's for sure. We got a few voicemails. Let's just get those out the way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm getting tired of the NBA. They're pushing this corpse of LeBron James. This YMCA slam dunk contest, this NFL garbage that's going on. I, I, I'm done with it.
I fucking hate betting on the NBA. Fuck the player props. Fuck betting on the games, the over-unders, the spread. Fuck it all. NBA is straight up bullshit. How can you bet on a fucking player? This motherfucker goes out on the court, warms up, breaks the biggest fucking sweat, and then sits 3 minutes before the game. It's fucking bullshit. And fuck the state of Florida. They keep taking all my goddamn betting sites. Now all I have is fucking Hard Rock Bet. They took my goddamn Prize Picks away. Fucking Florida's piece of shit.
Wait a minute. They took away Prize Picks? Damn, bro. Like, again, I keep telling people the world hates Florida. And clearly the sports books do too. And the thing is, they love money. Explain how a company who loves money bans fucking states from gambling. That is crazy, yo. That is fucking nuts. But everything he said, completely accurate.
Who do you think has the greatest chance of making it to the Hall of Fame? Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, or Michael Vick?
Michael Vick.
Yeah, I'd have to say Michael Vick. If they could get by all those allegations against him, you know, all the, you know, stuff that he was, you know, acquitted for, or not acquitted for, but accused of and everything like that, then it's got to be Michael Vick.
Yeah. Like, Cam Newton's making a good campaign. Like, he's having a good run as, like, a media personality. But the thing is, Cam's personality is only good for what it is right now. He's a good podcaster. A lot of those, like, celebrity, like, athletes, because I call them that now, like, the celebrity athletes who have these podcasts, it's good that they have podcasts because they wouldn't make it on, like, a big network or whatever, a network like ESPN and stuff like that. But ESPN's kind of dead anyway, so nobody give a fuck about them. But the ability to tell their true stories and stuff like that have given a lot of these players who either we hate or we just don't really give a fuck about, or we just feel like, okay, they've had their time in the league. Then now they have their moment in the sun, right? And Cam is one of those. Cam is one of those people who's like, you know what? Like, I liked his style of play, but I never really knew Cam Newton as a person. Then he became a podcast. You're like, oh, I kind of like his style. But his style is kind of like either you love it or you hate it, right? Because some of the stuff he says is just like, oh, that was a dumbass take. But it's Cam Newton, so it's just him and his truth, right? But I think he handles things very classy, and I just like his, not his persona, but the way that he does his style of podcast. So it just makes me really happy to see that, you know, he's getting his just due now. The issue is the league won't give him his just due because there are a lot of quarterbacks in the league right now. There's a lot of players in the draft right now that I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here. They're not better than Cam Newton right now. That sucks to say. That sucks to say. Cam could fit with Pittsburgh. He could fit with the Falcons. He could fit. He could be, I'm sorry, he could actually beat Baker Mayfield out in Tampa. This is just my personal opinion here, but I feel like all these things can be true. The issue that Cam has is his body. He has the arm. His body is not there anymore. You can have a great fucking arm and just be past your prime. I think Colin Kaepernick is what, like 33? He's still every year, like every, you know, off season, doing fucking football drills and shit. And we're like, bro, hang it up. Hang it the fuck up. Like, you can do all that shit. Like, you know, and then, you know, he has this thing where, you know, he wants to be super woke whenever, you know, it's time for the season and he doesn't get picked. But he also doesn't want to follow the rules. Cam Newton, his difference is everybody has said, we love Cam Newton. We like his person. If Belichick loves your personality and gives you an opportunity, most people want to fuck with you, right? And he actually shined. But Belichick made a critical mistake in trusting the quarterback. What was it? Was it Bailey Zappi at the time?
Yeah, I think so.
and he did less than nothing. So, again, I'm just really hoping that, you know, if he does get into the Hall of Fame, like, I think he has a chance of it, but he won't go in before Vic. I think Vic has way too many, I won't say, like, accolades, because you got to figure Cam is an MVP and Vic isn't, right? So outside of that, I feel like Vic's, like, his career, maybe I have to look at the stat line between the two of them, because that actually is a really tough, damn, that is tough. You got Cam as an MVP versus Vic, who has, damn, shit. We're going to have to come back next week for that one, because I actually got to go look at the stats for that one. Because once I saw the MVP thing, I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Because
yeah, I guess you do got to, like, you know, dive in and check out numbers and everything else, too. So
yeah, because, I mean, what is luck? Like, if I had to put in a ranking, now that I have to think about it, shit. Like, my immediate ranking would be, just because of the MVP, I would put Cam, and then I would put Michael Vick, and then I would put Andrew Luck. And the only reason I'm not putting Andrew Luck higher is because of the fact that it's like his injury is worse than Cam. Yeah, he just intentionally just said, you know what, I'm giving up. Right? But I think he thinks he's going to, you know, him doing that and saving his body, which is, again, personal choice. But he's thinking he can do the Megatron thing. Like, hey, you know what? I never won anything, but when I was great, I was great. So I should get into the Hall of Fame. That's not going to work for everybody, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, people who had good careers who are just going to quit in year 7 or 8 because they're like, hey, my body can't take it. I don't want to do it anymore, but I should be considered in the Hall of Fame. And they're going to get in 4 years before somebody who actually deserves it, which, again, not fair at all. We got some more voicemails. Here we go.
But I must say, the NBA's future is over. Once LeBron James leaves, it's going to be crazy. And then I can't name 2 players in college basketball.
You know what? He's not lying.
I can't name one.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's March. My father, every year for March Madness, goes to Vegas. He said this is the first year he's not excited because he could care less. He's just going to gamble. And I said, you know what? That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Hold on, we got more voicemails.
I agree. Do you believe Shannon Sharp, speaking of podcasting, former athlete turned to media podcasting? Or social light, if you will. Do you believe Shannon Sharp is the new Wendy Williams? Or perhaps the new Oprah? Because I can't see anyone that could possibly land Oprah and or Tyler Perry right now. Other than Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Like, he has a good... actually, I won't say good. He has a great chance of being like one of the top podcasters. He already is. I'm just saying great chance, because like there are a lot of podcasters who are great and they've been doing podcasting for longer. And, you know, Shannon Sharp, he's been at the right place at the right time. And he's gotten the right guests to give him speculative type of podcast, right? With the Cat Williams and, you know, certain, like he said, like Usher and Monique and all of them. But what he's got to do, you know, is, I don't want to say slow down, but he keeps the momentum going, but he has to start getting the politicians and the, you know, people like that. That's what's going to put him over the edge. And the reason why I say that is because he's still doing what a lot of the other podcasters are doing, picking people in their field or picking people because they have something spicy to say. They have some tea, right? And eventually that runs its course with every single podcast. Joe Budden, perfect example, right? Joe Rogan, perfect example. A lot of those podcasters have an issue with attempting to stay relevant after 2 or 3 years. And I think the thing that kind of ruined Joe Rogan outside of the Spotify deal was the Alex Jones shit and the Kanye shit. Those two was like, he went a little bit too far with that. Same thing with Drink Champs. They brought on Kanye. It's like, oh, went a little bit too far. And once you go too far, like, people are going to say, okay, this is enough. They're already trying to get Shannon Sharpe out of here because he was wearing the all green outfit with the orange purse. And they were like, what the fuck
wow. is this
guy? Yeah. And like, he was at a book signing or whatever. Like, I'm sorry, not a book signing, but like a liquor event or whatever at a liquor store. And he gets out of the car and he has on like this skin, like he wears form fitting shit. And it was like a skin tight, like green shirt. And it was like jogging pants that were green too. But then he had like an orange, like man satchel. And it's like, oh, okay. So all people are already saying behind the scenes that Shannon Sharpe, you know, talking about his sexuality and stuff like that. And obviously they know that they wouldn't say that to his face, but it's what gets the people going. It's entertaining, right? But he's not giving them any reason not to say these things when he hops out of a car in skin-tight outfits and he's wearing a fucking man satchel, right? But ultimately, what I'm attempting to say is, yes, Shannon Sharpe could be. He'll never be an Oprah. He'll never be a Wendy because he doesn't, like, Oprah is like a hierarchy, right? Wendy Williams is more speculative. She's just like, okay, I mean, she is about like drama, or she was about drama and stuff like that. Shannon Sharpe, he allows the people to talk. So he's a great interviewer. And you have to thank like ESPN and I forgot the other channel that it was on, like Fox Sports, for giving him those interviewing skills and having the ability to listen to another person and just letting them get the story out and get it through. So it's really good to see that he can do that. I just don't know how long it's sustainable, especially with every person who's ever played a sport having a podcast. When I think Shannon Sharpe, he has the show that he does, right, with Stephen A. Smith, that nobody really gives a fuck about because they like Club Shay Shay. Then you got Club Shay Shay. But then I didn't realize he had a whole fucking like live show that he does with Ocho Cinco. So it's like, oh, so you have a lot going on, which again, he's doing the smart approach of, hey, let's make this money now. If I make this money now, I don't have to be here that long. Shannon Sharpe can honestly do 200 great episodes of his podcast and hang it up. The Cat Williams one, from what they said that shit made over $200 million in revenue alone in one episode.
Wow.
Just one episode. Between, you know, the AdSense of YouTube and then the clips from like social media and stuff like that. He made money, and I'm sure he had to give some to, you know, the, you know, not Kevin Hart, but you know what I mean, with Cat Williams and shit like that. But ultimately, I don't think he's in it for just doing Club Shay Shay forever. That is something he's enjoying for now. But once it's run its course, just like most podcasts, it's run its course and it has to slow down a little bit. And right now, though, he's doing a damn good job. But to say Oprah, I can't see it. Because, I mean, Oprah was on for shit. She was on for almost like 26 years. I can't see it. I can't see Club Shay Shay going for 26 years. I can't see it. Next voicemail.
But you gotta think about it. Michael Vick changed the way quarterbacks play the game today. Everybody wanted to play like Vick. Look at today's quarterbacks. They're running quarterbacks because of Michael Vick. He changed the game the way Steph Curry changed the game in the NBA, shooting threes.
I understand that, but are you trying to say that if, and this is just, I'll throw out a name. If Giannis and Curry go and they just retire the same day, Giannis would technically, just by that metric, Giannis would end up getting the first ballot and then Steph Curry would get the second. Even though he has the three rings and shit like that, the MVP is with Giannis and he got it with the team they got it with. Yeah, you have the records and everything, but you have, you know, you have that one accolade. Michael Vick has the one accolade of just like changing the forefront of things when it comes to like being a mobile quarterback. He don't have the stature of the MVP, right? He doesn't even have shit. How many winning seasons did Atlanta have? Two? While he played with them? I think it was two. He had the one run in Pittsburgh. I can't see outside of the stats, and we'll go into that next week, but I can't personally see it at all. I'll keep going.
But Cam Newton definitely gets into the Hall of Fame. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first
unanimous MVP in the NFL? I may be wrong. I'm not quite sure, but I know his MVP year was amazing.
I agree. I agree. We got one more voicemail. We're going to get up out of here.
I agree. Yeah, that's definitely going to run its course. That's a good point. If he could cross over into the political arena, yeah, that's going to take him to into another stratosphere. Maybe Michelle Obama, if she decides to run, that might that very well could happen. Good point.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, again, we're in a political year. We got the election coming up and everything like that. This would be a good chance for not even just him, but for politicians to be like, okay, Club Shay Shay is safe because he allows me to speak and get my stories out and say the things I need to say. But if he does that, he has to also know that he's committing to having to change the culture of which Club Shay Shay is going to be about. You're not going to be able to say, you know what, Club Shay Shay is going to be, you know, somebody coming here and telling their story. Like, you can't have, and this is no disrespect to Monique, but you're not going to have Michelle Obama and then like 2 weeks later, you're going to have Monique. It don't work like that. You get the Moniques first, you get them out the way. And when I say that, meaning like you build your catalog with names like that who are prominent people. And then when you start getting to those, the Michelle, like once you get to like a Michelle Obama or Barack Obama, some shit like that. I don't even just use like politicians. When you start getting people who actually are making a difference in the world that aren't just like celebrity fanfare, like, okay, we're just here to hear the tea, and people actually want to hear what the hell they have to say, and more importantly, what it has to do to impact them, then it's going to be like, oh shit, like he's transcended this shit. He's not just a podcaster that's entertaining you with other people's stories. Like, he's actually listening and having people come on and explain what they're going to do for a community, what they're going to do for the world and stuff like that. And there aren't too many podcasters who succeeded in trying that. And the reason why is because they go and they have these interviews and no one listens to those interviews because they're so used to hearing the fluff and the bullshit. Like, the reason why the Joe Rogan like is so successful because he has people come on and they talk about otherworldly shit. Like, they talk about conspiracy theories and aliens and all that other shit. And even though he will have politicians come on and stuff like that, they're talking about everything but their politics. You know what I mean? Because, again, they can't go and dive into those politics because it's not a safe platform for that. It's not a platform where you can say, you know what, I'm going to go on Joe Rogan, I'm going to talk about this election that's coming up and why I need your vote, or why, you know, this, you know, community needs to do this, why underserved communities don't get this. Doing that, and then, you know, the week before he's talking about smoking weed with Elon Musk. You're like, what the fuck? Like, again, again, you got to set the temperature. And there are podcasts that are able to kind of code switch like that. Club Shay Shay knows what they're doing. And, you know, Shannon Sharp knows what he's doing. And I'm not saying that he can't do it. I just haven't seen it yet. All the show, like, I didn't see the Usher one at all. I didn't see that shit at all. But apparently that came on like a week or two before the fucking Cat Williams thing. I was like, wait a minute, nobody was talking about the Usher episode. Everybody's talking about the Cat Williams one for obvious reasons. Oh, well, you know, the Monique episode. Everybody's talking about the Monique thing because of her son and things that they were talking about with Tyler Perry and everything. But yeah, I can't see it. But hopefully he does. And the reason why is we need a black podcaster who can get to that level. We shouldn't have to go to white spaces to hear people talk about stuff like that, because we're just as safe as they are. It's just, it's hard to kind of filter through that because a lot of the podcasts, they have to code switch. It would just be nice to hear, you know, Shannon Sharp ask the question and get a direct answer from a politician. Who knows? I mean, this is the year, so it should improve. If he can do it this year, which I think he will,
stereo out here hating,
then you know what? I tip my hat. But if he can't do it on an election year and we just keep getting, you know, episodes about, yeah, see, I started talking some real shit. That's what it was. I'm telling you, you start making sense and all of a sudden I don't want. But So, again, y'all, this has been another episode of Fuck and Sports Desk. I'm Greg. I'm joined by Obviously Lou. He's gone because the app messed him up. And Miss Cashley, this has been a great episode. Did you have anything else that you want to say before we get out of here?
Nah, that's pretty much it. Great episode. Thanks for everyone who tuned in, left all the voice notes. Shout out to y'all.
Of course, of course. Yes. We will see y'all next week, y'all.
Peace, y'all.
Hey, do you have the Wi-Fi password? Common words everyone has said in an airport, coffee shop, or any public place with free internet. Don't fall victim to internet hackers while using free internet thanks to NordVPN. NordVPN is one of those services you tell yourself you don't need until it's too late. We've used the NordVPN to browse the web, check bank accounts, and even stream apps like Netflix. It's the only VPN service that lets you bypass ISPs, perfect for when your job has sites you frequent like Facebook is blocked. It's the best VPN service you can get for both price and performance. Install NordVPN on up to 6 devices, including your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, and experience the service for yourself. Start protecting yourself and your content with NordVPN by heading over to nordvpn.com/YBAB at checkout and save 75% on your subscription.